If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles 28. I want to begin by reading two verses as our main central text for today. First of all, verse 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. Pay close attention to the last part. He did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And if you will, look down at verse 25. In every city of Judah, he made the high places to make offerings to other gods, provoking to anger the Lord, the God of his fathers, provoking to anger the Lord. Ahaz did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, and Ahaz provoked the Lord to anger. Growing up as a child, my parents tried to teach me as best they could about living in this world and how to treat other people. And one of the things they ingrained in my brain was, if you can't say anything nice about someone, what? You all know, don't say anything at all. Say nice things or just keep your mouth shut. In other words, my parents were trying to teach me, look for the good qualities in a person and focus on those qualities. Very tough thing to do sometimes. Well, today we are continuing in our study of Old Testament kings. And we have been looking at the kings, especially of the southern kingdom of Judah, found throughout 2 Chronicles. And today we have come to 2 Chronicles 28, where we find the reign of Ahaz. Now, those of you who have studied the Old Testament in depth, you are familiar that the chronicler, the author of 1 and 2 Chronicles, he does his best. He tries to point out all the good things of the kings of the southern kingdom of Judah, what good they did. Sometimes in 2 Chronicles, as you study, the author leaves out some of the not so pleasant things a king did and focuses only on the good things that king did. The reason for this is that 2 Chronicles was written to show that God is still faithful to the unconditional covenant he had made with the house of David, and that this covenant was going to continue through the lines of the kings in the southern kingdom of Judah. But today we come to King Ahaz, and we find something a little unique about Ahaz that's not found in the rest of the book of 2 Chronicles. Nothing good is said about Ahaz. Nothing. Not one word. Here is the author trying to portray all these kings in the best light as possible, and there is nothing that he can say about Ahaz that is good. What a sad eulogy for a person's life. Maybe my parents should have talked to the author of 2 Chronicles. I'm just kidding. We know the Bible is inspired by God, was written down exactly as God wanted it. But there are some lessons we can learn from Ahaz's reign, even as wicked as it was. Sin angers and displeases God. And in today's passage, we're going to see three ways in which Ahaz angered and displeased the God of Israel. Ahaz displeased and angered God by following the wrong example. Ahaz displeased and angered God by trusting in man instead of trusting in God. And Ahaz also angered and displeased God by trusting in false gods. Let us pray one more time. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word, how it speaks to our hearts. Lord, we would pray that you would take the next few minutes this morning and touch our hearts. Let your word speak through your Holy Spirit, Lord. Not my words, but your Spirit. Lord, we all need to grow. We all need to mature. And Lord, we do that by hearing and heeding your word. Speak to our hearts today. Let us leave here changed people for the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first point for today is that following the wrong example displeases God. And we find this in the first part of our passage in verses 1 through 4. 2 Chronicles 28, 1 through 4. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even made metal images for the Baals, and he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burned his sons as an offering, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. And he sacrificed and made offerings on the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Ahaz does not do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. The word right simply means appropriate, correct, that which is pleasing. Ahaz displeased God. And one of the ways he did that was by following after a wrong example. Notice our text says Ahaz did not do as his father David had done. Now, of course, you know David was not Ahaz's biological father, just a term meaning Ahaz was in the line of David's descendants. Ahaz forsook the godly example of David, a man after God's own heart. But no, David, not perfect, sinful, but still a man who walked and followed after God. Also notice here in this passage that the example that Ahaz follows after. He follows after the kings of Israel. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. Now again, those of you who know Old Testament history, you know that after the nation of Israel was divided into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, they each had their own line of kings. While the southern kingdom of Judah had some kings who were good, who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, the northern kingdom of Israel, they had all bad kings. All their kings did what was not right in the eyes of the Lord. All their kings were wicked. It began with Jeroboam setting up the idols and continued until the northern kingdom was taken into captivity. And Ahaz here, instead of following David's godly example, Ahaz follows after the examples of these bad kings from the northern kingdom of Israel. And following their bad example led Ahaz into sin. Look at what following the bad example leads Ahaz into. It leads Ahaz into making metal images for the Baals. It leads Ahaz into sacrificing his sons in the valley of the son of Hinnom. The valley of the son of Hinnom was actually a garbage dump outside the city of Jerusalem, where they burn garbage continually. And because of this continual burning of fire, it became known as Gehenna over in the New Testament. And you all know Jesus associates this place as a term for hell in the New Testament. And they practice child sacrifice here. And child sacrifice, Ahaz being a king would have known, was strictly forbidden in the Old Testament law. So Ahaz not only follows the wrong example, he also forsakes the right example of God's word. When a person gets away from the word of God, it leads to displeasing God. It leads to sin. It leads to following the wrong example, leading into sin. Following the wrong example leads away from God. Ahaz followed after the kings of Israel, all their wicked, bad examples. He forsook the right examples, the godliness of David, and he forsook God's word. Notice also in verse 3, we find that Ahaz, following the practices of those nations that God drove from the land of Canaan, when Israel was conquering the land of Canaan, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, all those other sites. Why did God drive out all these nations from the land of Canaan when Israel was conquering the land? So the nation of Israel would be holy and separate from them, set apart for God. But here we see Ahaz, Judah under Ahaz, they are now practicing doing these very same things these nations before them had done, what God was trying to separate them from. Imagine God's chosen people, God's chosen land, now acting just like the people God had drove out of that land. Ahaz followed the wrong example, led to him displeasing God, and it led him into sin. Let me ask you a little personal question. Whose example are you following in your Christian life? Are there some ungodly examples that you are following? If so, they will lead you into sin also, just like Ahaz. Actually, for us who are believers, there is ultimately only one example we are to follow, and that is the example of Jesus Christ. Please understand me. There are godly men and women in this world who walk after and follow Jesus Christ as best they can, and they serve as godly examples for us. I am so thankful for the godly people in my own life who have shaped and molded me, whose examples I have tried to follow. But listen to me. Hear me real carefully here. No matter how godly that human example is that you are following, remember they are still human. Remember they can still fall. Remember they can still sin. Remember they can still say some things that might lead you astray. That's why Jesus is our ultimate example as believers. He is the one we are to follow, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's why the Apostle Paul in the New Testament could tell the churches that he wrote to, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Jesus is the only one who was and is perfect. One of the saddest aspects in the Christian church today around the world, one that is deeply, deeply troubling, is believers who are following man, some dynamic preacher or teacher with lots of personality, while ignoring the example of Jesus. It leads people away from Christ. It leads people into sin. And it displeases and angers God. Follow the right example. Follow Jesus Christ. Before we move on to our second point for today, I want to point out verses 5 through 15 of 2 Chronicles here. A very little interesting narrative about the southern kingdom of Judah suffering a great defeat during Ahaz's reign. We're not going to read 5 through 15 because of time, but you have two nations, Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel. They defeat Judah, killing 120,000 people in one day, and taken about 200,000 people captive. And God sends a prophet named Oded telling Israel that they had killed their relatives in Judah in anger and are now taking their relatives in the southern kingdom of Judah as slaves. Now, enslaving a fellow Israelite was again forbidden in Old Testament law. So the northern kingdom, they were disobeying God's law. So the leaders of the northern kingdom, they listened to the prophet, and they returned the hostages to the southern kingdom of Judah. I told you in this passage, there is nothing good said about Ahaz. Nothing. The only good thing that we find said in this passage is in verses 5 through 15 of the northern kingdom of Israel, not Ahaz in the southern kingdom of Judah, but the northern kingdom returning the hostages to the southern kingdom of Judah. And moving on, that brings us to our second point for today, which is trusting in man instead of God displeases God. And we find this in verses 16 through 21. Verses 16 through 21. At that time, King Ahaz sent to the king of Assyria for help, for the Edomites had again invaded and defeated Judah and carried away captives. And the Philistines had made raids on the cities in the Shephelah and the Negeb of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh, Ajalon, Gederoth, Soko with its villages, Timnah with its villages, and Gizmo with its villages. And they settled there. For the Lord humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had made Judah act sinfully and had been very unfaithful to the Lord. So Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came against him and afflicted him instead of strengthening him. For Ahaz took a portion from the house of the Lord and the house of the king and of the princes and gave tribute to the king of Assyria, but it did not help him. Not only is Judah being defeated by Syria and the northern kingdom of Judah, but here in this part of the passage, we see the Edomites, the Philistines, and the Assyrians. They also are invading and defeating the southern kingdom of Judah. In other words, Ahaz and Judah are under attack from all different directions. The southern kingdom is being weakened considerably, and it's only about 130 years away from their deportation and captivity at the hands of the Babylonians. But why is Judah being attacked and defeated at this time? Back up in verse 5, we read that it is God who has given Judah into the hands of these enemies because of their sin and unfaithfulness. And here in verse 19, in this part of the passage, we discover the same reason. It is because of Ahaz's unfaithfulness, which results in causing Judah to sin. And these attacks from the enemies, they were supposed to humble Judah and Ahaz, cause them to turn to the Lord. Being attacked, facing defeat, and what does Ahaz do? Does this distress and trouble cause him to turn to the Lord? Does this trouble and distress cause Ahaz to repent of his sin and start following the Lord? Does this trouble and distress cause Ahaz to trust in God? No. Ahaz, instead of turning to God, he turns to man. He turns to the king of Assyria for help, verse 16 tells us. Now, all of you know about the nation of Assyria, one of the cruelest, most inhumane, wicked nations ever. And you also need to know that it is during Ahaz's reign at this time that the northern kingdom of Israel, Judah's and Ahaz's neighbors, they are taken into captivity by the Assyrians during this reign of Ahaz. So instead of turning to a loving and gracious God in a time of trouble, Ahaz turns to an evil and wicked nation that is taking his relatives into captivity at that very same time. So Ahaz turns to man, to the Assyrians for help. Does this solve Ahaz's problems? Do the Assyrians come to Ahaz's defense and rescue? No, they don't. Actually, the Assyrians add to Judah's and Ahaz's affliction. The Bible tells us, so Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came against him and afflicted him instead of strengthening him. Facing enemies, facing problems, Ahaz turns to the Assyrians for help, and they actually just pile it on. They add to his distress. All in God's plan to humble Ahaz, but Ahaz is unwilling to humble himself. So Ahaz, he tries something else. He tries to bribe the Assyrians, pay them to help him. But this also does not help. Ahaz's trust and turning to man has actually backfired on him. God is the person who can help you when in trouble and not in when in trouble. I am in no way saying we as believers don't need Christian friends, not at all. God built the church to give us fellowship, to help meet the needs of other believers. I'm not saying Christians should isolate themselves, have no Christian friends, and say, God is all I need. You need other believers. But God is the one we are to trust in. Man is man, and there are things that man is not able to do. But God is all-powerful. There is nothing impossible for God. That's the person we are to trust in. Ahaz, he turned to man instead of God in time of trouble. Again, another little personal question. Where do you turn in the time of trouble? When life gets hard, when circumstances in life are not going your way, where do you turn for help? Who's the first person you run to when something bad occurs in your life? God wants us to trust in Him. Man, as we stated earlier, can lead you astray. No man, I stress, no man is infallible. All people are capable of making mistakes. We are to trust in God and not man. Let me illustrate just for a minute for you. Suppose today after the service, I experience some bad circumstance, some trouble that comes into my life. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it. So I go and I ask Andrew Kelly what to do. Andrew gives me his advice and I follow it. Good, great. Then tomorrow, I have another problem. And I find Andrew again and I ask Andrew, what should I do? Andrew tells me. I follow it. Good, great. Then Tuesday, I have another problem, and I run to Andrew. He gives me good advice. Good, great. I follow it. Who am I trusting? Who am I turning to? I am turning to man, not God. I love Andrew. Godly advice. He can help you, counsel. But we are to trust in God, not man. How many of you know that God is our ever-present help in the time of trouble? Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Nothing wrong with getting godly counsel from those who are godly. But we as believers are to turn to God, to trust in God, not man. God is the one who can help us. 1, following the wrong example displeases God. 2, trusting in man instead of God displeases God. And that brings us to our third and final point for today, which is trusting in false gods displeases God. And we find this in verses 22 through 27 of our passage. 22 through 27. In the time of his distress, he became yet more faithless to the Lord, this same king Ahaz. For he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, and said, "Because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me." But they were the ruin of him and all Israel. Pay close attention to that phrase. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God. And he shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. In every city of Judah, he made high places to make offerings to other gods, provoking to anger the Lord, the God of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and his ways, from the first to the last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, in Jerusalem, for they did not bring him into the tombs of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah his son reigned in his place. I want you to notice a pattern developing here in the life of Ahaz. Ahaz, sinful, disobedient, unfaithful. And to humble Ahaz, to get Ahaz to turn to the Lord, God sends the Syrians and Israel first to defeat Ahaz and Judah. So, does this get Ahaz to turn to the Lord? No. So, Ahaz, sinful, unfaithful, disobedient, God now sends the Edomites and the Philistines against Judah, and they defeat Judah. Does this get Ahaz to turn to the Lord? No. Ahaz then turns to the Assyrians, but they stab Ahaz in the back and cause him even more trouble. So, does that get Ahaz to turn to the Lord? No. Ahaz now turns to some false gods of the nations that have just defeated him. A hardened and cold heart towards God. Ahaz here, his heart, his condition, reminds me a lot of Pharaoh of Egypt in the Old Testament. You all know the story. God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh. God tells Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go. Pharaoh refuses, hardening his heart. So God sends a plague after a plague, 10 in all, before Pharaoh finally says enough and lets them go. But Pharaoh, his heart still hardened, unwilling to obey God, he regrets his decision to let them go and chases after them to bring them back. And you all know the story of how they drowned in the Red Sea. The point is, Pharaoh had hardened his heart towards God. And we see the same thing with Ahaz here, a hardened and cold heart towards God and the things of God. Both Pharaoh and Ahaz have an unwillingness to obey God and to do what is right. But back to our passage here. Ahaz is reasoning that since these nations have defeated him in Judah, then their gods, their false gods, are greater than the true God of Israel. So Ahaz starts offering sacrifices to these false gods in the hope these false gods will help him. Notice Ahaz not only starts sacrificing and worshiping these false gods, but he takes an even more drastic step. Ahaz then closes the doors of the temple. He shuts up the house of God. So now the people in Judah, they can't go to the temple where God resided in the Old Testament to worship God. Think about what Ahaz is trying to do. He is trying to completely stop worship of the true God. And to make matters even worse, Ahaz then goes and he builds altars to sacrifice to these false gods on every corner, the passage tells us. Remember again, this is the Holy Land, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people and God's specially chosen land. And they have a king here now closing down the temple, setting up altars for false worship everywhere. The southern kingdom of Judah is declining spiritually. It has been declining and still is. And verse 23 tells us this was the ruin of Ahaz and Judah. And it does lead to their ruin. Eventually, about 130 years later, the Babylonians will come and conquer and take captive the southern kingdom of Judah. Ahaz is doing all of this at the very same time his relatives in the northern kingdom have just been taken into the Assyrian captivity. All Ahaz had to do was look at the northern kingdom of Israel and see what spiritual decline and forsaking God would lead to just by looking at his relatives, his kin people. But his heart was hardened and unwilling. Ahaz turned to false gods. Let me ask you a question. Are there false gods in your life? Now, I know all of you are sitting there saying, no, of course not. I don't bow down and worship and pray to false gods. I only worship the true God of the Bible. The obvious false gods are very, very easy to spot. Many of you come from cultures where, like Ahaz, there are false gods on every street corner, sort of like here in Guangzhou. But these false gods, they are so easy to spot, so, so easy. But what about the more subtle false gods that come into our lives, that creep into our lives? Are there things or even people that you worship more than God? Is there something in your life you place more value on than God? Is there anything in your life that replaces God as being in first place in your life? If so, it is a false god. It is an idol. You shall have no other gods before you. What about your job? Do you value and place more importance on that high-paying job you have than you do on God? Very easy to do sometimes. What about money? Very easy to let money become the most important aspect of our lives, devoting all our time and energy to getting more money. Can happen without us even realizing it at times. Let me ask this question. What about a spouse? Some well-meaning people put their spouse first place, even ahead of God. Please understand, your spouse is very, very important in your life. But it's not she or he is not to be ahead of God in your life. This list could go on and on. Pursuit of knowledge, popularity, sports, they all can become false gods in your life. I'm going to tell on myself a little bit here. About 3-4 years ago, I had a good friend here. He's here today. He asked me to join a fantasy football league with him. For those of you not familiar with fantasy sports, it's on the computer where you pick a team of players and you use their stats to have your own team, and then you play against each other on the computer. Very popular in Western culture. Well, he asked me to join, and I did. It was fun. It was real fun. Actually, it became a little too fun. I found myself devoting hours on end playing this game, hour after hour after hour. This game, fun, nothing, not sin, but it started taking my time I should have been spending with God away. It started taking time I could have been using evangelizing, telling other people the good news. It started taking that time away. This fantasy sports had become a god in my life, and I had to do something about it, and I did. I dropped it. Anything, and I mean anything, that takes first place in our lives as believers is a false god. God is to be in first place. You shall have no other gods before you. If something is taking first place in your life, then do something about it in the coming weeks. Break down those false idols. Break down those false gods. Destroy them if they are in your lives. As we conclude today, we have looked at the sad, sad life of King Ahaz. Wicked, vile, nothing good that could be said about this man. A man who did what was not right in the eyes of God. A man who provoked God to anger. A man who displeased God by following the wrong examples. We, as believers, are to follow the right example, Jesus Christ. Ahaz, a man who displeased and angered God by trusting in man instead of God. God is the one who will never fail us as believers. Ahaz, a man who displeased and angered God by trusting in false gods instead of the true and living God. We are to keep God first in our lives. When we take a look at Ahaz's life, we sort of feel sorry for a man like that. You might be sitting there thinking, I'm glad I'm not like Ahaz. You might be thinking, I'm so glad there are some good things that can be said about me. We would love to compare ourselves to Ahaz. But let me close by saying, we are all like Ahaz. We are really no different than Ahaz. Maybe not quite as evil. Maybe we have done a few good things in our lives, but we are like Ahaz, all of us, every single one of us. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And our sin, no matter how little that sin is still sin. And before God, in His holiness and righteousness, our sin, no matter how little, still displeases God. Our sin, no matter how little, still angers God. And God's anger, caused by my sin, has to be satisfied. And God, in His love for us, made a way for His anger towards sin to be dealt with. God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice and as a payment for all of those sins you have done, for all of those sins I have done, and yes, even for all of those sins Ahaz did. Jesus Christ at the cross, He took God's wrath and anger for our sin. Punishment we all deserved, God's wrath and anger, but Jesus took our place. If you come to the cross simply placing your faith in the fact that Jesus died in your place, the Bible says you have salvation. The Bible says you have forgiveness of sin. The Bible tells us then God's anger no longer rests upon us because Jesus took God's anger on our behalf. God was pleased, very, very pleased with Jesus' work on the cross. That is the reason and the only reason why we as believers can stand as right in the sight of God. Don't live the rest of your life with God displeased and angered towards your sin. God loves you. The only way to truly please God is to accept the free offer of the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Don't harden your heart towards God like Ahaz. You can become right in God's eyes today. Let us close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, as I look at the life of Ahaz, it's easy. So easy to compare ourselves to someone that bad. But help us all here this morning to remember our sin is just as bad. Maybe not as much, but just as bad in your sight. And Lord, that's what makes the good news of the cross of Jesus Christ so wonderful. And as we said in the Lord's Supper, when we look at Jesus, when we look at the cross, it brings us gladness as believers. Because that sin, that anger, you being displeased was taken away at the cross. We thank you for salvation. I pray for any here this morning who do not know you. Lord, help them. Give them the courage to take that step of faith and put their faith in you, Lord. Help them not to go through their life like Ahaz did with cold, unwilling heart towards you. Help them, Lord, we pray this morning. Convict them with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.